this is David Giard. Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. Today, my guests are Eric Anderson and Tanuj Bansal. Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. Well, thank you.
Great. Eric, what do you do?
I'm Vice President and Chief IP Counsel for Microsoft, and I look after the company's intellectual property assets, and I help our customers solve intellectual property issues as they come up in their business.
Great. Tanuj, how about you?
Hi, David. I'm a Director of Marketing in our Azure team. So as part of my role, I'll work with, for example, Eric's team to bring the great work they're doing to marketing, or work with their engineering R&D team to bring their work to our customers.
Most of that work is on cloud computing, is it not?
That's right, on Azure and cloud computing.
How's Azure doing these days?
Well, actually, doing pretty well. We're seeing a pretty strong demand for cloud services all up. Our commercial cloud annualized revenue all up at Microsoft, that includes products like Office 5, exceeded $14 billion in Q2 of our fiscal. That is basically the end of December of last year. Azure itself grew 95% in what we call constant currency year over year for this quarter, with a core component of Azure, which is compute, as in compute cycles in the cloud, that grew almost twice. It doubled year over year. So all up, doing really, really well in the Azure business.
I work with a lot with Azure myself. One thing I've noticed is that people are starting to embrace the cloud. They're in a way that they didn't just a few years ago. There was some suspicion, some anxiety about trusting the cloud. And a lot of that's evaporating now, isn't it?
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of great momentum. Almost 90% of Fortune 500 companies are on Microsoft Cloud, for example. And I give you that stat because 90% of those Fortune 500 companies, include a lot of companies in restricted industry, such as finance industry, banks, etc. And all of those companies have gone to the cloud with products like Office 365 and Azure for that reason. So definitely, customers are getting over that hump and challenges that they face. And, you know, all up, there are still remaining challenges, and that's what we want to talk to you a little bit more about today.
Yeah, please do. What are some of the challenges people are facing right now?
Well, maybe I'll take that one on, David. You know, what we're seeing, as Tanuj alluded to, is there's customers across different sectors that are moving to the cloud. So it's not just technology companies. We see companies in retail, in pharmaceuticals, in all sorts of financial disciplines, moving resources to the cloud as well. And as they do so, they have to, you know, overcome challenges that are part of that movement. One of the issues that we've talked to customers a lot about in the last 2 or 3 years in particular is the challenge that some of them face with intellectual property infringement suits. Mm. So this is something that Microsoft has had a lot of experience in terms of helping our customers with it, because we've had this indemnification pledge in place for many, many years. And so when there is a intellectual property infringement assertion against a Microsoft technology, and one of our customers very often will get a letter or something like that from somebody implicating the technology, you know, we step in and we help our customers overcome those challenges. And so in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, as customers are really embracing the cloud, these situations where we've helped customers have started to encompass these conversations about how can you help me as I move to the cloud, and what can you do for me there. And what we're seeing also, David, is the statistics would really bear this out. So we've seen Boston Consulting Group has done some historical analysis here. And what they basically see is over the last 5 years, a serious uptick in the number of lawsuits that are related to cloud IP technology. And they've also seen a noted uptick in the number of patents that are being purchased by companies that are, in essence, in the business of asserting patents against other companies. And so both of these data points would sort of point to an increased amount of activity in this area, and something that customers should be aware of and should have a strategy for managing.
It sounds like you're saying that there are people that are purchasing patents not for the purpose of using the technology of those patents, but just simply for the purpose of suing others that are using it. Is that a fair rephrasing of what you just said?
That's right. I mean, there's basically a business model out there. These people are sometimes called trolls in the popular press. There's a business model, in essence, where people will buy up patents. They create a sort of entity around those patents, and then they will sue other companies for infringement. And so this is something that we've seen for many, many years in our industry. You also see this to some degree in other industries. And this is something that companies need to be aware of and need to have strategies for managing.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of a good sign, because the strength of the cloud is what's encouraging these trolls to actually pay attention to it and realize that there's a lot of activity there. But at the same time, of course, not for your customers. It's a problem for them.
Yeah, this is not an issue that's specific to the cloud. It's really about, we're seeing people sort of follow the money, so to speak. And what's going on is you're seeing a big uptake in cloud technology. And so, not surprisingly, people who are looking to be opportunistic around that development are trying to find ways to monetize that scenario.
And David, let me add on to what Eric said a little bit. He alluded to how customers, as they go to the cloud, with technology such as Azure, you're in retail or you're a bank and or you're in healthcare, over time you're also starting to do a lot more in the software and digital arena. Essentially, every company is becoming a digital company. Now, as Microsoft, we have a lot of experience in this area. We, of course, have a great legal team as well, a lot of knowledge in this area. So our customers often ask us, like, how do you protect your innovation in the cloud, and how can you help me? How are you going to reduce my risk related to doing work in the cloud and doing things with, for example, open source? And open source technology is even part of Azure. How are you mitigating my risks when you use open source? Mm-hmm. And boy, all up, I'm becoming a software vendor. You've done this for a while. You've been a vendor. Now I'm becoming a digital company. What can you share with me about managing all these risks in the cloud? So all of these things have come together for us to be working with our customer and really trying to address this challenge for them in the cloud.
Are you addressing it mostly by providing legal assistance to your customers?
Well, maybe I'll answer that question.
Yeah.
So what we're doing here is we're offering a program that we're calling Azure IP Advantage. And when you break it down, it's fundamentally three different things that are all directed at helping customers manage IP risk in the cloud. The first element is what's so-called indemnification coverage for Microsoft Azure Cloud Services. You should think of indemnification as basically kind of insurance. So what we're in essence saying is that if you, a customer, were to get sued or have a claim asserted against you by some company, let's say it could be like a troll company, so to speak, relating to our branded services, what we're saying is that we're going to stand behind that technology, and we're going to defend you, and we're going to indemnify you, meaning we're going to sort of, we're going to provide an insurance coverage against that claim for you as a bundled part of using our Azure service. And the thing that's notable here, David, is that what we're also saying is, hey, to the extent that we include open source technologies in our services, so when we use open source to power our service, we're also going to stand behind that open source technology also. We think that's what customers want. We think customers expect us to step up and do that. And so we're doing that as part of the offer we're making here. The second thing we're doing, which is really pretty novel, is we're saying when you deploy your services on Microsoft Azure, so whether it's your SaaS offering or it's some other value-added technology that runs on top of Azure, what we're saying is if you get sued by an operating company, for example, relating to an intellectual property claim on your technology, that we're going to make a portfolio of our patents available to you, if you wish, to come in and pick a patent out of our portfolio to help you defend yourself against that company. So this is something that is really, I think, quite interesting, particularly for a startup or a company that is in early stages of this development, because very often startups are incredibly innovative, but they don't have a portfolio of patents, or they may be waiting on patents to issue after 3 or 4 years after filing them. And so what we're saying is, hey, we've got a large portfolio of 10,000 of our patents that are innovative, that they've been issued patents by U.S. and foreign patent offices, and we're going to make those available for you when you need to defend your innovation when you run on Azure. And then finally, the last thing we're saying is that we're making a pledge to you, our Azure customer, that if we were to transfer any of our patents in the future, that they can't be asserted by somebody else against you, against your intellectual property. That's something that from time to time we've been asked for from various customers, and that's something we're just going to offer now as a programmatic part of the Azure IP Advantage program.
Interesting. How long has this Azure IP Advantage program been around?
Just since the beginning of February, so I guess a few weeks now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're recording this on March 27th, so not very long at all. Are you seeing adoption? What's been the response so far?
The response has been really great. In fact, even before the launch, we were working with customers to really understand, make sure that the program fit their needs. In fact, the genesis of this program is out of customers coming to us, working with us on real legal challenges that they were starting to face from these companies we talked about. For example, after I give you these names, they may sound obvious, but they immediately don't sound obvious otherwise. So for example, Mattel. You know, Mattel is a toy company. But they're starting to develop connected toys. For example, they have a brand, Nabi tablet, NABI. That's a connected toy, a high-tech solution for kids. It's actually simplifying the lives of patents with things like Aristotle. That's a voice assistant that's first of its kind connected platform for kids. It's very unique. It's coming from Mattel. Now they're turning into a digital company. They want to keep innovating. They want to keep the spirit of joy they bring to kids with all their innovation, and then not worry about getting sued in the cloud tomorrow because they are such a big company. Sure. Mattel is a customer that's already on board. You would actually find quotes from them on our website for our webpage for Azure IP Advantage. Another good one is Toyota. You know, as you would expect, any company, any car company that's getting into being a connected car company now will start seeing these issues. And Toyota Connected Team is using Microsoft Azure for its data science platform, developing predictive and contextual services. And they're essentially starting to do this development, realizing that they may face these challenges now or in the near future. So they're also very, very supportive. They've been a partner and a customer with us as we developed this offer. So all of a great uptake so far from a significant number of customers.
Yeah, well, Mattel and Toyota are large companies. What about startups and small companies? How's been the adoption?
We're getting the word out, and we're actually starting to talk with some of the startups. I can't share any specific names right now, but the initial response is, wow, one, I didn't know I should be worried about it, which is important. You know, awareness of this type of issue is not there that much, even in big companies. But as a startup, you're worried more about getting out there fast with your innovation, sure, with your business, right? But as this awareness is being driven, they're starting to realize that, you know, as and when their dreams come true of having a great product in the market and growth, lack of this level of support could come back to affect their business negatively. And Azure IP Advantage just gives them that peace of mind that they don't have to worry about this issue in the future.
Yeah, the one thing I'd add on top of what Tanuj just said is that I think, you know, startups are cost sensitive, obviously. And one of the things that I think is great about this program is that we're not charging anything for it. It's basically, it's part of making a decision to go with Azure essentially gives you all these additional benefits that are really valuable for you as a startup and, you know, as you grow your business. And I think that's something we're also seeing as in terms of the favorable reception.
Yeah, that's a great point. Sorry, the qualification or ability to use this offer, it all you have to do is be an Azure customer. It doesn't matter how big or small a customer that's using and consuming Azure. For example, for indemnification effort that Eric talked about, we modified our contracts effective February 1st. This is applicable to all of our active customers currently.
It does sound like a great program, and it's speaking of getting the word out to the startups, I was not aware of this program until I was asked to talk to you guys about it. So maybe this video will help to get the word out, and I'm an evangelist. I get to help to get that out. Are any of Microsoft's competitors in the cloud space doing anything similar?
Yeah, I can take that one. First of all, comparing to any other major cloud provider, no one is offering this level of protection. If a customer developer cares about IP and wants the industry's best level of protection against IP risk, Azure is the only player in the cloud for that situation. Secondly, ongoing, we are committed to protecting our customers and their IP. So as companies embrace cloud and computing and digital transformation, it's really important to think about it's really important for customers to think about their approach to IP. The patent portfolio that I talked about is one of the largest portfolio in the world, and neither of the major cloud providers are providing any of the program pieces around patent pick or springing licenses that Eric talked about. So Azure is quite unique and far above and beyond the competitors in this space.
Yeah, the one thing I'd add to what Tanuj just said is, you know, we spent almost a year developing this program, and we thought very hard about the what we were hearing from our customers. And I think in addition to what Tanuj said, I think that we're coming from a fairly unique position there as a company with a long history of dealing with customers large and small and helping them address their issues and listening to them and then trying to craft what we hope in this case is a very thoughtful approach to solving, you know, a lot of their issues and helping position them well from a risk perspective as they move forward in their business.
It sounds like a great program. You've had, what, a month or so that it's actually been released? I'm assuming you're getting feedback from your customers. Have you started to think about what else to add to this program?
Yeah, we've already begun, you know, taking feedback from customers, both in terms of, you know, what they like and what they'd love to see in terms of a next step. We don't have anything to announce here on your program, unfortunately.
Okay.
But we're definitely taking the feedback.
I thought I had a scoop.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I think that I think that customers are interested, obviously, in the details of the program. They want to know more about exactly, for instance, how they would execute on the patent pick. They want to also understand, you know, the open source elements of the offer that we're making. So there's been a lot of questions to sort of drill down and understand it better. And we're also getting, you know, feedback on what else we might be able to do that could be helpful. So we're going to continue working on that. We view this as sort of a sustaining commitment, you know, we're making to customers. And this is not just about a launch of something. We're going to continue to look at this space and try to be helpful and be thoughtful about it.
Where do people go for answers to find out more about the program?
Yeah, so there's actually a easy link that they can go to. It's http aka.ms / Azure IP Advantage. So that's one word. Essentially, aka.ms/ Azure IP Advantage.
Okay, I actually brought that up in my browser right now. We'll put that in the show notes to make it easier for people to find.
Great.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that we should?
No, that pretty much sums it up. So really appreciate you giving us the time, David.
Oh, the pleasure was mine. Thank you for showing up.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you for watching Dev Radio.